Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Called up yonder, I'll be there. And I pray that every one of you here today is going to be with me because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way we're going to make it. We're going to be back in the book of John this morning, and we kind of got started on that last week, the week before. We're going to be back in John chapter 3. And we'll go back for just a minute. Remember, the book of John is about seven key signs, seven key miracles. John wrote this book, and he wrote the summary verses in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, where John says that these things were written that we might believe. What's he talking about? He's talking about the signs that Jesus did. The miracle with a message, that these things were written that we might believe, and believe and we might have life in His name. And John wants us to understand that there's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And remember, John gives us the seven I am statements. And we remember that when Moses was out in the wilderness, that God spoke to Moses and he said, who shall I say sent me? He said, say that I am sent you. Not that I was, not that I will be, but that I am. Jesus is God and God has always been. And so he's not he was, he not he is, but not he will be, but I am. We're going to be on John chapter 3 verse 1 is where we're going to be. We're going to kind of go back. And I'm going to read back through because we really just got started on that section last week. And we want to talk a little bit about that. So remember in chapter 2, he does his first miracle and then he cleanses the temple. And as we get to chapter 3, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And then Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the Spirit, born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Excuse me, I can't read this morning. We were talking about this last week, that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And remember we said the Pharisees was that ruling segment. They were basically the lawyers of the day. They kept the law. They were the ones that were formed out of a group that most people believe happened in the intertestamental period because they were trying to keep the Jewish people pure. And they were what you would call the legalist. They tried to keep the law so literally that remember that the Bible says that you should keep the word before your eyes as frontlets and on your hands. And basically what they did is they walked around with these little things on their forehead and they had the scriptures in them. And they had these little things on their wrist. And they had the Word of God in there. And they just took the Word of God so literally and they added so many commandments to God's Word because they were trying to keep the commandment. In other words, they knew the law backwards, forwards, and sideways. And in an attempt to try to keep the law, they added a bunch of other laws that would keep them away from breaking the real law. And by doing that, they ended up kind of really being doing what you call overkill, right? I mean, basically, you know, you can tell somebody not to do something, but they were saying you couldn't touch that wall. But it's sort of like you tell them you can't get within 10 feet of the wall because you don't want somebody to touch the wall. That's basically what they did. They got to the place where they were hypocritical because they felt like they were better than everybody else, because not only did they keep the law as best as a man and a woman could keep it, but they kept it and beyond. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. But see, what the problem was the Pharisees read the law, they understood the law, but they didn't understand the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law was where God said that we were to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and our spirit, that we're to love Him with everything that we had. And remember, Jesus summed up the law by saying that, and He said to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, He says, if you love Me, you'll keep the first four commandments, that you won't have any other idols, that you'll keep the Sabbath holy, that you won't take My name in vain. Can't remember the other one right this second. Make no graven images. And if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him. You won't lie. You won't covet his stuff. You won't. You'll honor your mother and your father. And on, you won't murder him. And so really the spirit of the law was that we really love God. That's what God really wants, is us to love Him. And He gave us the law to show us that we cannot keep the law on our own. I mean, a lot of times you ask people, how are you going to get to heaven? And they say, well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments or I'm a good person. And usually when you ask somebody, how are they going to make it to heaven? They usually give you a works answer. I've been baptized, or I've taken communion, or I've done this, I've done that, I'm a member of a church. But Jesus said the only way to make it to heaven is to ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you, because we realize that we cannot make it to heaven on our own, because Jesus says you must be perfect to make it to heaven. And there's none of us righteous, no, not one. And that's why we're going to talk about in a few minutes why Jesus had to die on that cross, right? It's because He had to die in our place, and He had to die for our sins. And so this man was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was like the top dog of all the Pharisees. He was the man. He was the ruler, is what a lot of the Bibles say. And this man was the leader of the whole group of Pharisees. And if anybody knew the law, he did. I remember last couple of weeks ago I told y'all to become a Pharisee you had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. That's about 200 pages worth in our Bible. Has anybody got the first 200 pages of their Bible memorized? Well, to become a Pharisee you had to do that. But Jesus said they were always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes we have head knowledge, but we don't understand it here. That the heart of the matter is that we love Jesus and realize that we can't make it on our own. We have to ask Him to forgive us. And so it says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, that we know that You are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs You do unless God is with him. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. A lot of times when John uses the word night, he's talking about spiritual darkness. The Bible talks about, remember we talked about in chapter 1 that Jesus is the light of the world. The Bible talks about after we get saved that we're sons of the day, that we're sons of light, and that we need to let our light shine, and we reflect what Jesus has done in our life. nighttime usually speaks of evil and spiritual darkness. Now, nighttime was also a good time to meet with somebody because remember, Jesus was busy all the time. And at night, the Pharisees, the people would study and they would be away from the crowd, so it was a good time to come. But I think here that he's saying that Nicodemus was in spiritual darkness. Because Nicodemus, even though he was a leader of the Jews, even though he knew the law backwards and forwards and sideways, he had never come to the place where he had asked God to forgive him and asked God to save him because he realized that he couldn't do it on his own. And so he's apparently representing the rest of the Pharisees in some manner because he comes and he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. And so apparently the Pharisees, they recognized that he was from God because only God can do those kind of signs. That Jesus is doing, performing miracles and, you know, we don't have any other miracles recorded at this point. Jesus has only turned the water into wine as far as the book of John goes. But at this point, we don't know. Jesus must have done some more miracles in between the time he turned the water into wine. And Nicodemus and the Pharisees have seen it. And they say, we know that only God, that a person from God, can do these miracles that you're doing. And only because God is with him. They understood that. I think that's what really scared the Pharisees. Is because, see, the fact is they had their little religious system in place, right? And they didn't want to give up their power. They didn't want to give up their authority. And they were afraid of Jesus. Because they knew that Jesus was the real deal. And Jesus answered in him in verse 3 and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly. Maybe your Bible says truly, truly, or verily, verily. That was what the old, you know, King James used to say. What that means is every time Jesus says most assuredly or verily, verily or truly, truly, whatever your Bible says, when he says that, he's saying, listen up. I'm about to tell you something that is very, very important. You need to listen. He says to him this very important thing that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, unless one is born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? I know we've heard that probably all our life, right? We've heard a bunch of people talk about they were born again. We know what it means to be born. This word again means to be born from above. It means to be born a second time. It means to be made new. And the Bible says that when we are saved, that we become a new creation. That we are born from above because it's not something we can do, but it's only something God can do. That God changes us. God makes us like Him. Because, I don't know about you, but I lived a number of years of my life before I got saved, and I tried to change. I tried to do differently. But until I asked God to forgive me and God to save me, I couldn't do anything any different because I was just a sinner. I would do okay for a little while and then I'd fall back into my habits and I'd do them two or three times worse than what I was doing when I quit. And that's why we need Jesus. And so Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean to be born again? It means that God has to change us. God has to make us a new creation. God has to come into our lives and forgive us and save us. And so he says, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I remember one time I talked to a guy, and I won't tell you what faith he was of, but he said, I talked to him and I said, well, you know, you need to be saved. And he said, well, I never got far enough away from my baptism that I felt like I needed to be do anything else. And I said, well, the Bible says you must be born again. He says, well, I never got far enough away from my baptism. He was dependent on baptism to save him. Some people depend on good works to save them. And that's what Nicodemus was dependent on. His keeping the law as best as he could. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not going to make it to heaven unless Jesus does something in your life and in my life. We're not going to make it. That clear? And we can't do it. He says, Nicodemus says in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Maybe Nicodemus is because he's such a literalist that he takes everything literally, because that's what they did with all the laws, right? I mean, they would put those little phylacteries on their head and on their wrist and put the law in there. And everything the Word of God said, they would just take it literally. And maybe he took this literally and he says, Can I go back inside my mother and be born again? Can a man enter his mother's womb when he is old? In other words, he's telling Jesus, he says, I can't get there from here. I'm old. You know, there's no way I can do this. There's no way we can go back into a mother's womb a second time. And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, and here he says it the second time, and he's going to say it one more time before it's over with. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, it says here, unless one is born of the water. Remember, Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth here. Listen up, Nicodemus. Unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He's not saying go be baptized. Because remember, during this time, what's going on? John the Baptist is baptizing people. But you remember what John's baptism was about? It was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism saying that I need to be different. I need to be changed. And even when the Jews were, most of the time it was the Gentiles that were baptized. And the Gentiles were saying, I need to be changed. I need to be repent. But a lot of the Jews were being baptized too. And they were saying, I'm as a filthy Gentile. Because remember, the Jews didn't like Gentiles very much. That's all of us, unless anybody here is a Jew. And they said that we're just as bad off as the rest of the people. We need to be changed. We need to be cleansed. And if we were to go over to Ezekiel 36, and you don't have to turn there, but over in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, God comes in and He tells them that He's going to sprinkle clean water on them, that He's going to make them clean, that He's going to give them a new heart, that He's going to change them from the inside out. Y'all remember any of those passages where the Bible says that He will take out their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh? It says in verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, God says, I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you different. I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. Let's go all the way back to the priest when they were in the temple and they had a little basin of water. And every time they did a sacrifice, they would have to go wash up and they'd have to clean their hands and they'd have to look in that little basin. It was made of pure bronze. And it was shined up so well that when they looked down, it was like a mirror. And they could look and see if their face was dirty, if their hands were dirty, and they could wash all the stuff off of them, right? And you remember James? James talks about, over in chapter 1, about that if any man looks into the mirror and sees he's dirty and walks away and doesn't do anything about it, he's a hearer and not a doer of the word. In other words, what I'm saying is that the Word of God is a mirror. The Word of God is the thing that cleanses us. And I want to turn to one more verse over here in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and maybe this will all become clear to you. I hope it will. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, let me back up to verse 4. It says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." In other words, God says it's His Word that cleanses us. The Bible says over and over and over again, it says they heard the Word and they were saved. I could turn to one more verse over in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. It says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." In other words, it's the Word that saves us. And you know, Jesus, remember how we started out the book of John? It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? And Jesus is God's message to us. He is God's messenger. He speaks to us. He is God's Word to us. Hebrews chapter 1 says that in the past that God has spoke to us in many ways through His prophets and through many various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And so it's the Word of God that saves us. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, and it says, "Marty, you're a sinner. Marty, you need to be saved. Marty, you can't make it to heaven on your own. You need Jesus Christ and Him alone to get to heaven, because Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me.'" Then we only have one option, and that's to ask God to forgive us and ask God to save us, right? And that's the only option we have. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That it's God that does the changing. It's not us. Because in Ephesians 2:8-9 it says, "You are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It's God that forgives us. It's God that saves us. And I hope and pray today that you know that, because that water is a picture of God's Word cleansing us and washing us. And every time we read His Word, we look into His Word and we see, "Oh, there's something in my life I need to change. I need to quit talking about people. I need to put off this thing. I need to put on this thing." I need to do something different with my life. And the Spirit is God's Spirit. He comes into our life. Remember I read right there in Ephesians 1:13 that when after you have heard the Word, the gospel of your truth, and you believed it, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit is God's promise to us that one day we're going to go to heaven. Y'all remember John 14 where Jesus said, "Unless I go, I cannot send a comforter, but I will go and He will come and He will be with you and He will never leave you." And so God, Jesus left, but He sent the Spirit to replace Him. And if we know Jesus, the Spirit lives in us and through us, and that's how we can live the life that God wants us to live. Because I don't know about you, I've tried to live good. I've tried to be right. I've tried to do good things on my own, but I couldn't do them on my own. And that's why we need Jesus to come into our life and to change us. Because even this Pharisee that had 200 pages of his Bible memorized, Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not you might be, not if you decide you want to be, but you must be born again." And the only way you're going to see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and get in is if you ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. Well, let's pray this morning. Father, we just ask that You would be with us this morning. If there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure if they died today that they would go to heaven, I pray today that You would help them just to cry out today and just say, "Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and make me born again. Make me a new creation." Lord, the Bible says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." And so we ask today that You would help somebody, if there's anybody here that needs to do that, that You would help them to understand and believe that truth and to trust in You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, why don't we sing Jesus Paid It All?
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.